Holy Spirit, we just give you permission to do everything that you want to do at this particular point in the service. We thank you for your strong presence. We thank you for the leading, guiding, and directing of the Holy Spirit. We just surrender ourselves even more to that deeper realm that you're taking us to. Tonight we're going to be talking about a prophetic word that God gave me this past Friday. It is in the monthly newsletter, and it's titled 2023, A Year of Greater Devastation. 2023 is going to be a year of greater devastation than we have ever seen before. I'm going to show my signs, wonders, and miracles in the stars, in the heavens. I'm going to show my signs, wonders, and miracles through my body. It will not be business as usual for the church. I am going to continue to shake the church until I have a bride that is pure, that is holy, that is spotless before me. It can be confusing when you hear some of the prophetic words come out when God says he's going to bring his glory and he's going to reveal himself and it's going to be wonderful parties and things like that. But let it be clear that God is doing both at the same time. He's bringing destruction, he's bringing judgment, he's bringing devastation. The good news is for us, or I should say for those who are living right, the destruction and devastation is not going to touch you. For those who are playing church, you're open for that destruction and devastation to touch you. This is something that the church gives a mixed message on, and we don't want to have you in a false state of comfort, thinking that, okay, God hasn't said anything directly to me, so I'm going to be okay. If you know that you have issues, if you know that you have areas that are not right, these are the times now for you to be crying out to God to get those things under the blood and get them dealt with, so there's no confusion. He's clear, until I have a bride that is pure, that is holy, that is spotless before me. He is going to continue to shake. 2 Corinthians 11:2, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Ephesians 5:27, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that should be holy and without blemish. Revelations 19:7, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. We're the wife. We're the bride of Christ. And the message that is being preached all the time in this house is get yourself right and stay right. And that's a part of you being one of the five wise virgins, not the foolish, where you're just playing around doing your thing and then Jesus comes and you have no oil for your lamp. Ezekiel chapter 8. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house with the elders of Judah sitting before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell upon me there. Then I looked, and there was a likeness like the appearance of fire. From the appearance of his waist and downward, fire, and from his waist and upward, like the appearance of brightness, like the color of amber. He stretched out the form of a hand, and took me by a lock of my hair, and the Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven, and brought me in visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the north gate of the inner court, where the seat of the image of jealousy was, which provokes to jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, like the vision that I saw in the plain. Then he said to me, Son of man, lift your eyes now toward the north. So I lifted my eyes toward the north, and there north of the altar gate was this image of jealousy in the entrance. Furthermore, he said to me, Son of man, do you see what they are doing? The great abominations that the house of Israel commits here to make me go far away from my sanctuary. Now turn again. You will see greater abominations. So he brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, there was a hole in the wall. Then he said to me, Son of man, dig into the wall. And when I dug into the wall, there was a door. And he said to me, go in and see the wicked abominations which they are doing there. So I went in and saw in there every sort of creeping thing, abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed all around on the walls. And there stood before them 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel, and in their midst stood Jezaniah the son of Shaphan. Each man had a censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then he said to me, Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the room of his idols, for they say, the Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land. These things are going on right now in God's houses. The preachers, the lay leaders, the leaders in the church are committing sins before the Lord, and they're saying, he's not seeing, he's not doing anything. I've escaped. Verse 13. And he said to me, turn again, and you will see greater abominations that they are doing. So he brought me to the door of the north gate of the Lord's house, and to my dismay, women were sitting there weeping for Tammuz. Then he said to me, have you seen this, O son of man? Turn again, you will see greater abominations than these. So he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and there at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east. And they were worshiping the sun toward the east. They were doing this in God's house. Same thing goes on in churches today. Verse 17, and he said to me, have you seen this, O son of man? Is it a trivial thing to the house of Judah to commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence. Stop there for a second. Look at all the crime that is going on within Delaware. We have more shootings in different places than we've ever had before. It is the church's responsibility. The church, if you read what this just says here, because of the abominations of the leaders in the church, the people in the church, those things going unconfessed, they have filled the land with violence. Then they have returned to provoke me to anger. Indeed, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore, I will also act in fury. My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, I will not hear them. Very serious words that God is saying. The prophetic word goes on. I have told the church, no weapon formed against it shall prosper. but that did not include me. Let that sink in. God can be a weapon against you if you're not doing what he needs you to do. Don't be fooled. There are those in the church who are not following me with all of their hearts. They are not doing the plan that I have set out and established for them, and they are going to find me coming after them. We don't have time to waste. They're going to think that it is the enemy doing these things to bring them into alignment. And we often hear this, the devil's after me, the devil's chasing me. Have you stopped and thought, is it really the devil or is it God trying to get you into position and into place with him? But they are soon going to find out that it is I, the Lord thy God, who is bringing about the corrections that are needed. Jeremiah 7:17-34. Do you not see what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead dough to make cakes for the Queen of Heaven. That right there shows you a clear picture of where the family is at. Messed up. Somebody should have said, no, we're not going to do this idol worship. The children shouldn't have gathered the wood. The fathers shouldn't have started the fires. The women should not have made the cakes. And God has been prophesying and saying that he's trying to straighten the families back up. He's trying to bring families back into love and into unity. And it starts with getting rid of the sin. They knead the dough to make cakes for the Queen of Heaven, and they pour out drink offerings to other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, says the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the shame of their own faces? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, my anger and my fury will be poured out on this place, on man and on beast, on the trees of the field, and on the fruit of the ground, and it will burn and not be quenched. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat meat. For I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts, and went backward and not forward. If no one else around about you is doing what's right, you need to be the one to do what's right. You need to be the one to walk in honor and integrity and in the love of the Lord and do what's right. You cannot point the finger at your brother or your sister and say, because they're in sin, I'm just going to be in sin too. You can't look at other leaders in the church and say, because they're in sin, I have an excuse. God doesn't do that. Verse 25. Since the day that your fathers come out of the land of Egypt until this day, I have even sent you to all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they did not obey me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore, you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not obey. You shall also call to them, but they will not answer you. So you shall say to them, this is a nation that does not obey the voice of the Lord their God, nor receive correction. Truth has perished and has been cut off from their mouth. cut off your hair and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on the desolate heights. For the Lord has rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, says the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to pollute it. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I did not command, nor did it come into my heart. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when it will no more be called Tophet, or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they will bury in Tophet until there is no room. The corpses of this people will be food for the birds of the heavens and for the birds of the earth. And no one will frighten them away. And then I will cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. All of the parties will go away. All of the celebrations will go away, because they will finally at one point understand that they were doing what was wrong. Ezekiel chapter 9. Then he called out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, "Let those who have charge over the city draw near." God is talking to the angels, each with a deadly weapon in his hand. And suddenly six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his battle axe in his hand. One among them was clothed with linen and had a writer's inkhorn at his side. They went in and stood beside the bronze altar. Now the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub where it had been to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed with linen, who had the writer's inkhorn at his side. And the Lord said to him, "Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all of the abominations that are done with it." So God has sent an angel into this area to mark the people who are in disagreement with the sin that is going on. If God were to send an angel into Delaware, would you be one of those who would be in agreement with the sin, or would you be one of those who were in disagreement? Could you get that protective mark placed upon you? Something to think about. Something that you should already have made a decision on in what you're doing. And this, again, this is important, because you cannot look at what your brother and sister are doing. You know the word of God. You have a Bible. You have many, 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 many prophetic words that God has spoken to you. You have to take those things into heart so that you can do the works that God wants you to do. There are no excuses. There's nothing that you can tell God that he's going to listen at and say, "Okay, all right, you get a pass." Especially now, because we're dealing with the end times. We're dealing with him needing us to be his vessels of honor and glory, so that he can speak and prophesy to people, lay hands on people, use us to do miracles for people. You may be the only person in your area that God can use. Have you ever thought about that? The only one. And we can't be dabbling. We can't be playing. We have to be ready. At a moment's notice, things in our lives can change. You never know when the electricity is going to go off. You never know if they're going to bomb the airbase. You never know if they're going to bomb Washington, D.C. You never know if they're going to bomb Philadelphia or Three Mile Island. These are all major targets that are around us. what would you do? How many of you remember 9/11 when it happened? Cell phones were shut down. Couldn't get a call out. They've been threatening to cut the internet off. Different groups, different enemies of the United States, and even the leaders in the United States. What would you do? If you don't have the word of God hidden in your hearts, you're not going to be able to pick your Bible app up and remember the scriptures that God told you. This is real right now. And all of these things have been threatened. In Christmas morning, we lost our water for the whole town of Smyrna. No knowledge, nothing. They fixed it, but for about four to six hours, nothing. How easily can that happen to death? Verse 5, to the others he said in my hearing, go after him through the city and kill, and do not let your eyes spare nor have any pity. Utterly slay old and young men, maidens and little children and women, but do not come near anyone on whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. So they began with the elders who were before the temple. Then he said to them, defile the temple and fill the courts with the slain. Go out. And they went out and killed in the city. So it was that while they were killing them, I was left alone, and I fell on my face and cried out and said, ah, Lord God, will you destroy all the remnant of Israel and pouring out your fury on Jerusalem? Then he said to me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great, and the land is full of bloodshed, and the city full of perversity. For they say the Lord has forsaken the land, and the Lord does not see. And as for me also, my eye will neither spare, nor will I have pity, but I will recompense, as repay, their deeds on their own head. Just then the man clothed with linen, who had the inkhorn at his side, reported back and said, I have done as you have commanded me. These types of things are going to be going on now, in our time period. And if you're not in the spirit, listening to what God is saying, you could be taken out. The prophetic word goes on to say, some of these ones in my church have been crying out to me, asking me for revival, and I am bringing it. With this revival will be destruction and devastation. I have tried everything else, and my church has been resisting me. They continue to do their own thing. They continue to come up with their false doctrines. They continue to prophesy, meaning to prophesy lies to people, tickling their ears, telling them what they want to hear. You give me that $1,000 and your blessing is coming. They're doing those types of things. I will heal your people if you give me X, Y, and Z. These things are going on today. I will ignore your sin if you do X, Y, and Z. Instead of telling you you're in sin, you need to get yourself right. You need to cry out to God until you make that thing right. Prophesy. 2 Timothy 4:1-4. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his coming. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out. Convince. Rebuke. Rebuke. Nobody wants to be rebuked. All this, teach me the word, teach me the word, teach me the positive things, teach me the good things. rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. A man can have a baby. Fable. Two women can be in love with each other. Fable. Isaiah 30, verse 8 to 14. Now go, write it before them on a tablet, and note it on a scroll, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord. Why say to the seers, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things? Speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get out of the way, turn aside from the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perversity and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach ready to fall, a bulge in a high wall, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant, and he shall break it like the breaking of the potter's vessel, which is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so there shall not be found among its fragments a shard to take fire from the hearth or to take water from the cistern. That's utter destruction. Jeremiah 7, 1 to 16. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord. All you of Judah who enter in at these gates to worship the Lord, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Do not trust in these lying words, saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, and the temple of the Lord are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, or walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know, and then come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? God gave us permission to do this. Now, has this house which is called by my name become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, I have seen it, says the Lord. But go now to my place which is in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it because of the wickedness of my people Israel. And now, because you have done all these works, says the Lord, and I spoke to you rising up early and speaking, but you did not hear. And I called you, but you did not answer. Therefore, I will do to the house which is called by my name, in which you trust, and to this place, which I gave to you and your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, the whole posterity of Ephraim. Therefore, do not pray for this people, nor lift up a cry or prayer for them, nor make intercession to me, for I will not hear you. This was God talking to his church, to his people. If he did this in the past, he for sure is saying this to the church today. This cannot be ignored. Some people in the church are teaching that God would never do this, and that God is not a judge, and he has no wrath, and he has no anger. And they're giving you a false reality of who the God of the Bible is. And if you're believing these things, if you're preaching these things, you need to wake up, because a day of reckoning is coming. It's actually here, and God is shaking, and he is going to shake until he gets everything out of his church that he wants to get out. The prophecy continues. I am going to show myself strong in 2023, and there will be no denying it. There will be no saying that it wasn't me. The destructions and the devastations that are coming will be clear signs from my heavens. You can't argue with the floods that are going on in California. Not man-made. God did that. The mudslides. You can't argue with the 27 tornadoes that went through Alabama. The other storms that are going on around the earth. Haven't been able to find it yet, but they said that there were tremors in Delaware this weekend. Do you realize that God has said that there's going to be an earthquake on the East Coast? Everybody thinks the earthquake's going to be in California, and they are going to have some earthquakes, but there's going to be some major earthquakes on the East Coast of the United States. We're on the East Coast. What's going to happen if the land splits open and you can't get home? Everything's tore up, devastated, destroyed. It's a clear sign from God that something needs to change, and it needs to change with the church. The foolishness that continues on in my houses, I am bringing it to an end. Those who are called by my name will straighten up and will get in line with my plans and my purposes. Those who do not straighten up will have Ichabod written across their doorposts, and my glory will depart from them. We're going to talk about Shiloh. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, this is out of 1 Samuel 4, verses 5 to 11. Listen at this, because this is very relevant to today. When the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly that the earth shook. Think about different places that revival is happening. The presence of God is being real strong. And God comes in there, and the people get moved by the Spirit. Listen to this. Now, when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What does the sound of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews mean?" Then they understood that the ark of the Lord had come into the camp. So the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God has come into the camp." And they said, "Woe to us, for such a thing has never happened before. Woe to us. Who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and conduct yourselves like men, you Philistines, that you do not become servants of the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Conduct yourselves like men and fight." So the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated. God came in the scene, so much so that they shouted. Shouted that it scared the Philistines, that they didn't want to fight. Israel was defeated. the church is fooling itself thinking that we have something. Don't be tricked. Don't think that you got an anointing and God is going to be there for you. Don't think as in times past, just like Samuel or Samson, he shook himself and the anointing had left him. You cannot take God's anointing for granted. And the church does this day in and day out. Look at what happened to these people. The anointing was there, but they lost. This is real stuff. Israel was defeated and every man fled to his tent. There was a very great slaughter, and there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. Also, the Ark of God was captured, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. These were the corrupt priests that were operating in the house of Israel. It goes on to say, now his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, due to be delivered. And when she heard the news that the Ark of God was captured and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and gave birth, for her labor pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the woman who stood by her said to her, do not fear, for you have borne a son. But she did not answer, nor did she regard it. Then she named the child Ichabod, saying the glory has departed from Israel. Because the Ark of God had been captured, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. That was 1 Samuel 4:19-21. The prophetic word goes on to say, this is a very serious thing that I'm, excuse me. This is a very serious thing that I'm saying and I'm doing in my body. I have to move. I have to bring things into complete alignment. I have said many times that the end of the Gentile dispensation is here, and I meant what I said. I do not mince words like men do. I honor my words. I fulfill my words. I cause my words to come to pass. The end of the Gentile dispensation is here, which means God is going to leave and start working with the Jewish people. And he is doing this right now. They are having dreams, visions. The anointing is falling upon them. Great miracles are taking place. And we're supposed to be the ones that they become jealous of, because they should be seeing the glory of God upon us and flowing through us, so that it can attract them and bring them back to God. But God does not have to use us. He wants to. You know, when you think about the ending of the Gentile dispensation, that's us. That's anybody that's not a Jew is a Gentile. You can be playing around with God so much that you don't know that he left you. You don't know that the anointing has walked away from you. And you could be in such a state of stupor. You know, you're still getting high from your anointing. You're still able to heal people. You're still able to manifest the presence. But God is gone. And there's many in the house of God who are doing this. Leaders. The anointing has long been left them. But they have great crowds and great followings. We have to be so wise in this time period to not get caught up in this mess and to make sure that we're living pure and holy, that the anointing that we manifest is truly from God. There's so much fake going on right now, and the people in the church cannot discern it. Some people in the church, I should say, cannot discern it. Zechariah 14, the day of the Lord. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. for I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half of it toward the south. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach to Azazel. Yes, you shall flee, as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Thus the Lord my God will come, and all the saints with you. And it shall come to pass in that day that there will be no light. The lights will diminish. It shall be one day, which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night. But at evening time it shall happen that it will be light. And in that day it shall be that living water shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea and half of them toward the western sea. In both summer and winter it shall occur. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be, the Lord is one, and his name is one. All the land shall be turned into a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be raised up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate to the place of the first gate and the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel to the king's wine presses. The people shall dwell in it. And no longer shall there be utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this shall be the plague with which the Lord will strike all the people who fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall dissolve while they stand on their feet. Their eyes shall dissolve in their sockets, and their tongues shall dissolve in their mouths. It shall come to pass in that day that a great panic from the Lord will be among them. Everyone will seize the hand of his neighbor and raise his hand against his neighbor's hand. Judah also will fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the surrounding nations shall be gathered together. Gold, silver, and apparel in great abundance. Such also shall be the plague on the horse and the mule, on the camel and the donkey, and on all the cattle that will be in those camps, so shall this plague be. God is not playing when it comes to his nation Israel. And if you don't bless them, you're going to be the reaper of what you sow. The prophetic word goes on to say, you're going to see a greater distinction between the false prophets, false teachers, and the true prophets and the true teachers. I have to draw this distinction so that the world knows who they can trust and who they can go to. Be not dismayed at the things that you see. Know with assurity that I am working everything out for the good of my plan. I am bringing heaven to earth, but it is not going to be as those supposed it would be. My people do not know my word. They do not understand that I am bringing this destruction, not because I hate my people, but because I love them. And I am chastening and chastising them to bring them into full alignment with me. I have spoken many times in the past about these days to the prophets of old. They were poo-pooed. They were ignored. They were laughed at, mocked, and scorned. But they are soon going to see that they had a right on time, thus saith the Lord, message from me. You can read Joel chapter 3 when you get home. But it talks about how God judges the nations. A year of the beginning of my reckoning. There are some in my houses who take me for a fool. They're going to see that I'm not a fool. They're going to understand that the things that they have been doing in the dark will be brought out into the light, because there's going to be an exposing of the darkness like never before in my houses. And if you don't believe that, look at some of the documentaries that are coming out right now, talking about the different things that churches and church leaders are doing. I have told you before that many would drop dead in the pulpits. Many would miss the glory realm that I'm about to bring. I want to read you a prophetic word that Pastor Barbara placed in her book, Warning, Don't Wait Until the Last Call. For those of you who are online, we'll post a link in there for you to get that and purchase that. Very good resource to understand some of the things that are going to be happening in this end time hour. Some of these prophetic words were given as far back as the 80s. Listen at this. A Great Time of Unrest by Pastor Barbara Lynch. On the way home from prayer meeting tonight, February 12, 2008, God said, this United States of America is going to go through a great time of unrest. I looked up the meaning of unrest. It means restlessness, disquiet, angry, discontent, verging on revolt. I truly do believe that this is food for thought. What is America really headed for? We have read the prophecies of the gross darkness. We know that what God has placed into motion, he will accomplish. He has spoken and told his church when all this comes to the forefront. His true children must be found holding on to the horns of the altar and to never let go. Question, what are you holding on to? Another prophetic word, I Have Come to America by Pastor Barbara Lynch. The finality of the times has come upon the land. My glory is being revealed all across this nation. I will show signs and wonders everywhere in a few short days ahead. There will be not one state untouched. Not one state will be untouched. I have spoken, and so shall it be. Control. I am in full and complete control of this new revival of souls that has already begun. I will change every nation, tribe, and tongue. There will be nothing left untouched by this revival. You will see manifestations of my glory all across this nation. I have come to America with this great revival in answer to many prayers that have ascended to the throne room. No weapon formed against this revival shall hinder it. All who will try to control will lose control of everything. There is absolutely nothing that I will withhold from this revival that is already sweeping the nations. It is line upon line and precept upon precept. It is decent and in order. Daughter of the church has seen nothing yet. Just you wait and see. This explosion will be heard all across this earth. It will be from glory to glory to glory. Trust me. I will devastate this whole earth. Pastor Barbara Lynch. There are mountains and then there are mountains. I am calling you forth at this given time to hurdle over the mountaintops and stay securely rooted and grounded in me. I know who I am, but my people do not know who they are. And the enemy comes again and again to steal from my chosen people. When will they learn? How long will it take? For some, it will take so long that it will be too late. For others, they are going to wise up and quickly, and they will arise out of the ash heap and serve me with all of their hearts. This is the greatest time of decision in church history. This decision will make or break my church. It is time to arise up out of the ash heap and serve the living God and serve him only. For I will have no other gods before me. I am true and I am faithful and I fail not my peoples. Look up, peoples. Look up, for your redemption doth truly draw nigh. Just as quick as New Orleans was destroyed, I will devastate this whole earth. Many will be running to and fro, The peoples will be about their normal everyday lives, and suddenly out of nowhere, I will appear, and it will be all over. I have spoken this before, and nobody heeded my voice. I'm speaking it again, and still they will not heed my voice. Destruction must come upon this nation, for they are making themselves a nation without a father. They are taking me out of everything, and I am wroth with my peoples. Come and take counsel from me, saith the Father. Come and take counsel from me and learn the truth of what is happening round about you. You are transgressing my laws daily, and I will not permit it any longer. You have cast me asunder. You have brought me to shame over and over again. Enough is enough, and I'm tired of this horseplay that you call church, and I have come to put an end to it. Take not counsel from the ungodly, for they are already lost. Seek counsel from me, for I am your counselor. I and only I have the answers to your questions. Why do you forsake me over and over again? Why not just come to the throne of grace and accept all that my son did for you? Why? That is my question to you tonight. Closing the prophecy. I have to show my church who I really am and what it is that I'm about to do. I am bringing myself in all of my glory to bring forth the wrath and the retribution that I have promised in my word. Be forewarned. This is just the beginning. Draw yourself ever closer to me. Stay in the very center of my will, and these things that are coming will not touch you. Yes, the rain does fall on the just and the unjust, but I have targeted the unjust who sit in my houses in this season, and they shall know that I am God. I am going after rebellion in the leadership. I am causing the impure motives of the heart to be seen. There will be bloodshed. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I have given time and grace for them to come out of rebellion. They hold on to it like an adulterous lover caught in the heat of their passion. I will get justice for myself. I will bring retribution for those who refuse to follow me. And you can read Isaiah 61:1 when you get home. Very serious words that God has said. Put them in your spirit. Meditate on them. Don't let them escape your memory banks. If you know that you need to make some changes permanently, we're opening up the altar for you tonight. I wouldn't be concerned about what other people think about me at this particular point in time. This is about your forever soul. It's time. Those of you online, God sees you too. He sees the things that you're doing that you think that nobody else sees. And you're not going to escape this as well. You may be running from church. You may be running from different houses of God that you've been called to sit in. It's time for you to get that kind of stuff cleaned up too. Because some people refuse to come into church because they don't want to be held accountable. God is going to hold you accountable. He can raise a prophet up out of nowhere and walk up to you on the street and tell you what you're doing wrong. If you're serious, people online, about your walk with God, it's time that you get it together too. He sees it all. The altar is open for anyone who wants to get themselves totally right and move forward with Christ.